murder. Swerving with my circus, looking for a purpose. Pseudo clean record, hope got another surface.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought overall, the way it started, right? My wife is up there, and forgive my dog barking, but my wife was up there, and she's listened to it, and she's just like, oh, this sucks. And I'm like, yeah. And she shut it off. She shut it off 20 minutes in, less than 20 minutes in. So I make this point up front to you guys. You know, when they went to the first break, they came back. It was a different format for 40 minutes. So like I said, yeah, in the chat, I was just like, yep, I guarantee you, because ratings are in real time now, and they get real time ratings. Even Ben Shapiro gets real time ratings during his recordings, right? And he's like, whatever. So I guarantee you those ratings dropped off, and somebody with some WASTA got up there, talked to the moderators, talked to each and every one of the candidates and said, you guys better tone it down because you're not doing yourselves any favors. You need to STFU and get on track.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, dude, it was almost cringe, right? It was almost embarrassing. You were embarrassed for them. I'm just like, wow, you know, it's like you brought, Dana Perino, you know, she's part of their main lineup. Stuart Varney, and then the other lady, I've never even heard of her. I mean, I guess she's from Univision or whatever, but I don't think, you know, two of the three, I don't think were the strongest moderators anyway. And you do need to have some type A, you know, assertive personalities if you're going to moderate, right? But I think one of you called it, I don't know if it was Josh or Luke, that they cut the mics at after the first 15 minutes, because first 15 minutes, man, I mean, it was like listening to my kids. They're just sitting here bickering. I didn't touch that. Yes, you did. No, I saw it. I'm like, oh my Lord, this is like my kids, you know, back in their teenage years again. And then you can tell, just like, I think you're spot on, Luke. They got through that first commercial break and they're like, hey, we're going to un-F this. And this was going to happen. And then they started cutting mics. And then I think if you notice towards the end again, they opened up some mics. Like when Bergram tried to interject a couple times, I think they opened it back up for some individuals that they wanted to hear more of, or maybe get some more time on.
Yeah, it started off. I seriously contemplated turning it off after like the first 10 minutes. I was like, this is terrible. It's absolutely, it was romper room with adults. But yeah, I mean, they got back on track, and it actually turned into a really good debate. So I'm going to go ahead and rank mine, and then we can debate later, but I'm going to rank my top three, who I think the top three were, and then Luke, you rank yours, Roger, Richard, and then we can talk, you know, about each one. But just, you know, hot take, rank them without any discussion. So again, mine, DeSantis, Burgum, and as much as it pains me to say, Christie. Luke?
Yeah, I'll echo Josh's. I agree. And because Christie finished so strong. He finished so strong in the last, 20, 30 minutes. And I do think it bears more discussion on who the biggest loser was, right? But I'll go with Josh's rankings. Josh, I try not to be biased, right? Because I wanted Ron DeSantis to win. So I try to be objective about it, but I'm still, and maybe Roger will bring us down to earth on this, but I'm still going to put DeSantis at one. Then I'll go with Burgum, did himself the most favors, right? And then Christie, because he finished so strong. You know, Roger?
Nope. Totally agree. I think Ron was the most consistent. I mean, he had a couple answers here and there that flail, but hey, nobody's going to be perfect. Kind of went off tangent a couple of times because, you know, Josh said it before, you know, it's like, you know, how are you going to stop nuclear proliferation? You've got 15 seconds to respond. It's like, okay, that's just not going to work. So they've got so much stuff in their head, right? And they've got so many talking points they're trying to get out. So you try to hurry up and answer the question and move on and cover those other things in the back of your filing cabinet. So I think he was the most consistent, no glaring errors on his side. I think Burgum did a lot to what's going to happen with Burgum is the same thing that happened with Vivek last time. People right now are gurgling his name. Like, who is this dude? What does he stand for? And then I agree with you. You know, Chris, I think he had a rough start. I won't go too far into it. You know, I'll kick it back over to Josh. But I think what Christie did, one, he was, it took him, was it him or Burgum that brought up states' rights first? I think it was Christie that brought up states' rights early on. But, and we've had this discussion talking about the polls and the other guy that wasn't at the debate, but it's, he made a, his strategy is to go after the 45%. Okay, if you believe all the polls and this and that out there, it's like, okay, that 55 that's with him is 55. You got to get it down to a one-two person show. And so I think what I saw from him at the end, which I thought was one of the, you know, his best closeouts that I've seen so far and his best speeches, is he made a concerted effort to go after the 45%. 55%, you guys, hey man, we got to get to the Super Bowl. And that's how you do it. And I think, as much as I hate Christie, I like that approach.
Yep. No, I agree. Christie finished, man, he's finished so strong. There was a couple of answers and I forget exactly which one it was, but when he answered it, I was like, is that Chris Christie? Or is that somebody else in a fat suit impersonating Chris Christie? Like I was shocked. I was shocked, but right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Luke, we got to talk about who's the biggest loser. And I think the biggest loser is Vivek. I think absolutely. He was the biggest loser tonight. He got absolutely creamed, and Luke pointed it out. Everybody ganged up on Vivek, to include the moderators. It was readily apparent that people jumped on Vivek, to include the moderators from the get-go. You know, the spat that him and Nikki Haley got into was absolutely, it was as Key and Peele would say in one of their videos, churlish. You know, it was absolutely churlish. It was like two fifth graders fighting on the playground. It was fairly ridiculous. But yeah, Vivek got creamed all night long in some of his answers. It seems to be Vivek's answer, you know, a lot of it is in line with Pence's, is what's the answer? More government, federal bans, you know, legislation at the federal level, you know, to prevent, you know, kids under 16 from having access to social media. And you're like, dude, to stand there in the Reagan Library of all places and think that more government is the answer is absolutely asinine. And it's a slap in the face to, you know, to Reagan himself. So I think Vivek was the biggest loser. And I think, I don't know what he does to come back from that. Not that he had a shot in winning this anyway, but
he's done.
Yeah, I think he took a beating.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, like we were saying in the chat, it's like not only will people like us pile on him for some of his answers, but the mainstream media will take some of the things he said during that. And man, the sound bites are just made to order. It was crazy, some of the stuff he was saying. Josh was like, the gulag guard is coming out in him, which is, man, it was kind of crazy to see. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for him, right? Because he did so well in the last one. He did so well that Damon, who is a certified 100% grade A heterosexual, was really reconsidering his stances. And I kind of feel bad for him because I think he's shell-shocked after that. I'm sitting here. I still have Fox News up, and Vivek with his bad hair is talking to Sean Hannity right now. But what I found interesting was the South Carolina, you know, headbanging that was going on there between Tim Scott and Nikki Haley. I mean, and I didn't see that benefited either one of them. Man, they really went head-to-head. I mean, Tim Scott came out. He took his gloves off, and he was ready to go. And it was fun to see, but again, Tim Scott's like, what are you doing for yourself? I don't necessarily see him as a loser, right? I agree with Josh. Vivek is the biggest loser in this debate. Tim Scott wasn't necessarily a loser, but he didn't do himself any favors either. You know, it's just like, well, Tim Scott is just where he was, you know, at the end of the last debate. Mike Pence was absolutely invisible, to me at least. And I'm a little bit biased, so trying to remain objective. It's like, what did Mike Pence accomplish? It's like 1988 call, bro. You're out of your depth here. You're not on the right stage. You know, people want to talk about Burgum again. Who are we leaving out here? We talk about Tim Scott. We talk about Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Vivek, Christie, and then Burgum, right? I mean, right, yeah. The first debate, I don't know in the podcast if we called it out too much, you know, when we recorded right after. But, I mean, Burgum makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, when we're sitting here talking in the chat, because we got to try to separate what we talked about on the Slack channel. And I'm really disappointed in Gary for not being in the Slack channel tonight, along with a lot of other people are going to listen to this, because it really is fun. So we got to differentiate. And, you know, we all said, I think everyone agreed in the Slack channel that I think Burgum would be a great president. Not a great one. I think he'd be a good president. He says all the right things. He makes all the sense in the world. But it's just like, it's the same thing like Josh's stance on Trump, right? It's like, is this guy electable? It's like a lot of people would make a great president. But it's just like, all that to say, I like Doug Burgum. I think he's solid. But is he electable?
No, we said it after the first debate about Burgum, because Burgum was the only one in the first debate who correctly answered the question on abortion. When Burgum stood up there and said, God, this belongs to the states. Like, the Supreme Court decided this is a 10th Amendment issue and it belongs to the states. And everybody else was like, oh, even DeSantis, you know, which I'm a little biased toward at this point, is like, oh no, federal ban at 6 weeks, federal ban at 15 weeks. And Burgum was the only one who was like, no, like, it's already been decided. It's a states issue. And we were like, that guy gets it. You know, he gets it. So yeah, no, man, we called him early.
And I think, much like both of you guys, you know, Vivek got hammered. I think him and, Nikki Haley were the biggest losers. Vivek, we didn't call this because, you know, it's so easy. You get caught up on the momentum, you get caught up on the sound bites and, you know, the staged interviews and this and that. But, you know, Vivek, his performance was like the second year NFL quarterback. Hey man, you come out that first year, nobody's got any game tape on you. You just kind of come out of nowhere out of left year. And you know what? At a left field, and the guy's got a little bit of an arm, you know, and he can throw, and you've got some good receivers. And next thing you know, yeah, Mike Vick, right? It's like, hey, this guy might be a player. But now after your first debate, now people have gurgled him. They've gone back, pulled up his YouTube videos, and he's getting hammered, just like with independent pundits. Yeah, Kaepernick. Yeah, he's trying to go back to the Jets. Good Lord. But you get sidetracking, man. But he was even getting hammered with some of the independent pundits. You know, they're starting to pull up some of his game tape, right? Some of his old interviews, his YouTube videos, this and that. And I think when you look at, you know, with this debate here, Tim Scott, I thought, let it off. And dude, they used his words against him. Hey, you said we were all bought and paid for. And then you notice towards the end, Vivek's like, hey, these personal attacks. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like the first debate, that's all you did. That's what made it entertaining.
Yep.
Right. So now you've got a second year quarterback. People have game tape, right? People have got game tape. Like, okay, now I know how to push your buttons a little bit. And then I think Josh was the one that called this out early on with them. It's, you know, it's a lot of platform talking points. We don't get really deep. Now, what's more important with this thing, before I move on to Nikki Haley, and again, Josh called this out with the, you know, the big government. It's one thing to call for big government or more government. What's really shocking is that most of them are calling for big government and don't even know it. That's what's scary. That to me is what's scary, is when they call for big government, they call for, you know, a greater federal workforce, and they don't even realize that they're ones doing it. Nikki Haley, you know, it's, she was trying to take that leap. You know, I think there was a little bit too much bickering back and forth, you know, with Tim Scott. One thing I did think he did, I don't think he made up any ground, but he was a lot more assertive this time around. I thought last time he was a little too nice. This time, you know, you could tell his team was like, hey, man, you need to be assertive. You need to get out there. You need to get your feet in the fire. Nikki Haley trying to go back and forth. Nikki Haley's highlight, in my opinion, and I thought Ron did a fairly good job, you know, rebutting it, was she started bringing up some specifics about, you know, what Ron did as governor. And they were very pointed. And Ron got away without having to answer that. Right. And some of it just because it just devolved to, you know, back to amoebas again and people shouting back and forth. But I think Vivek, the biggest loser, Nikki Haley close, right behind. I guess the bigger question, I'll kick it over to Josh. And especially when you look at, well, and I will say Ron's closeout, that dude, spot on. That was spot on. And he did a little bit of that in the first debate when they, you know, Dana Perino asked, hey, if you had to vote somebody off of the island, you know, write down who would you vote. It's funny because Chris Christie starts writing, right? And Barney calls him out on it. He's like, yes, but he was going to write Trump. And again, you didn't listen to the question, right, of who's on the stage, but he made a very clear decision that I'm going after the 45%.
Boom. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I think Ron's closeout on, hey, look, this is for the voters to decide. You know, we're not in fifth grade. And again, goes back to the first debate. I'm not playing that game. And Luke, you posted it on the Slack channel. Thanks for all those that were a part of that. But that was an instance there where there was leadership. Like, I'm not doing this. It's not the right thing to do. And then you know what? What happens? Everybody on the stage follows him, right? So I think as far as closeout, that's probably the best closeout you could have asked for from Ron or anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. The you know, that, and like you said, in the first debate, he was like, hey, we're all right here. We don't have to raise our hands like we're, you know, in fifth grade. And on that, you know, he was like, no, we're right here. If we want to debate, ask us a question and we'll debate it. We don't have to, you know, figure out who gets voted off the island. Christie may have written down Trump. I'm not 100% sure that Christie wrote down Trump, because Christie probably heard as he was writing, you know, oh, those on the stage, and he probably scribbled somebody else's name down. I think Christie played it off. You know, if he didn't write down Trump, then he played it off very well, that it was. Yeah. And Luke, I think you're absolutely right. It was, you know, Vivek or Pence. And I don't think that Christie would go. You noticed Christie didn't go after Vivek a whole lot, because he knows that Vivek is not going to sit there and take it. But dude, Pence is just an easy target. Is there a more milk white toast guy up on that stage than Pence? And it was funny because they gave him the Hispanic question. And you're like, and then Tim Scott decides he's going to jump in with, well, I have friends who are Hispanic, you know, and you're like, really? Did you just say, well, no, my, you know, my chief of staff and my, you know, Senate office is Hispanic, and, you know, she's a really great worker, and I hired her because she was the most qualified. It was like, that's not what you just started. That's not how you started that answer. I think he started that answer and then realized how it sounded. It was like, oh, this is not good. Tim Scott's biggest problem is he thinks that because he's been in the Senate so long and that he sat on committees, that makes him qualified. And you're like, dude, that actually makes you, I think it makes you less qualified, because he sat there, you know, talking about, you know, the economy and stuff. He was like, well, I was on the, you know, Senate Finance Committee. It's like, we are over $30 trillion in debt, Tim. I probably wouldn't be bragging about sitting on any type of finance committees or involved in the country's finances, because if you haven't paid attention, we're not in the best financial shape.
Rand Paul is the only one who could get away with that, right?
Oh, 100%.
He'd be the only one that could get away with making that claim.
Yes, 100%. And so Tim's not going anywhere. Tim's not even going to get a cabinet position. He's just not. The one thing, and I'll bring it up, you know, again, man, I think Ron DeSantis is the only one that has a chance of beating, you know, either Biden or Newsom or whoever they throw up there. But he has got to stop that smiling shit at the end of his statements. It is the absolute worst. It makes him come across as fake. It makes him come across as a used car salesman. I don't like it. Ron, whoever is advising you, you should fire them, because it's the worst, the absolute worst idea to smile like that at the end of every statement.
It's, you know, just, we call for that ridiculous. Every episode.
You know, so you know what it reminds me of? When we went to Disney years and years ago, we went and we were at the Aladdin, you know, little area. And they had this guy, you know, he's dressed up as Aladdin. And every time he saw a camera, he just get this big smile on his face, right? Because he's, you know, he's cheesing for all the photos and everything. That's what it reminds me of. The guy's like scowling one second. He looks over and he sees a camera and he goes right into, you know, smile pose. That's what DeSantis is coming across at the end of his answers. And it's like, stop it. Like, just stop that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
So we should hit up Christina Pushaw tomorrow and, like, really slam on that. Like, multiple posts about it. Because, dude, it is bad. It's awful. I think everyone pointed that out. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I'm finished, and what do you think about that? It's borderline.
It's not natural.
No. And it's borderline creepy. So I want to bring this up real quick. Because I don't know if there were crossed wires based on what I was saying or not, but Ron does. Okay, so let me return to something. So Roger brought it up. It's like Ron DeSantis took the leadership position early on where he cut in to a couple of people arguing. I don't remember exactly where it was. And then the moderators let him talk, and he came out as the winner. I was like, man, that's big, right? Because he's the leader, like Roger said. And then he tried it later, and it didn't work. Yeah, late in the debate, and it didn't work that time. He tried to capitalize, but it didn't work that time.
He was 2 for 3.
He was, yeah. But what I thought was funny, and I threw it in the Slack, was one of my pet peeves, right? Because let me qualify by saying, look, I know military wives have it tough. I understand that. I get it. But when they said, when Ron DeSantis, like, I'm the only one on this stage, and I want to say this to Josh. I think we said it really well in the Slack channel. You know, some things can be captured in a text type format where it's like Josh is saying, hey, just because someone's a veteran doesn't mean they're going to be a good politician. I 100% agree. We'll say Dan Crenshaw, for instance, or the fat lieutenant colonel who ratted on Donald Trump, right? But at the same time, it's not an immediate disqualifier either. And I think we all agreed on that. So Ron DeSantis brought up, I'm the only one on this stage with military service. And then the moderators go, oh, well, Nikki Haley's husband's in the military too. And I was like, oh, snap. I was like, oh.
Even so my Roger, wife, dude, she's like,
okay, what the okay, that's what mean? I want to ask you, Roger. That's what I want to ask you. What did your wife say? That's what I want to ask you. I want to clear the air on that one.
Your reaction was exactly, if you could put it into words, and I forget the exact, she's like, so what the F does that matter? Like spouses in the military matter now? And as soon as she said that, I mean, you came out with that. I'm like, dude, she just literally said, and you know what? Here's an important thing though. She said that, you said that. So that means, you know, there are many, many millions of Americans that are also saying the exact same thing, right?
I guarantee you Nikki Haley has a sticker on the back windshield of her car. It says military spouse, toughest job in the military. I guarantee you she's got
Okay, so I'm glad I wasn't like, I'm not trying to call out military spouses, man. I know it's tough. I get that. But it's like, that's not exactly the same thing. And that's why I'm so glad that Roger, your wife, had that reaction. But
yeah, to be fair for Nikki Haley, the moderator said that and not Nikki Haley.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, you know, just to be fair to her, the moderator brought that up, but it was like, yeah, if you looked at my, you're like, so.
Well, and my wife served too, right? So for the people out there who don't know, my wife's a veteran. So she was in the Air Force. So, you know, it just made it even like, so now spouses are veterans, right? Okay, got it. Because that's the way it came off. And you're absolutely right, Josh. It was the, you know, the moderators like, that just wasn't very well played. You didn't do her any favors.
Speaking of the moderators, we've got a red coat, a literal red coat as a moderator, Stuart Varney. And then I'm not sure about the Univision moderator. I was so distracted by whatever was on her neck. I don't know if that's a birthmark or a scar or a tattoo of a comet hitting the moon. I was so distracted by her. But is look, man, if she, you know, Stuart Varney's a U.S. citizen, man. Hey, we're a country of immigrants, right? Hey, more power to you. But at the same time, it's like I felt like the Univision moderator. Like, Josh, what do you think? If you could go back and listen to her accent, it almost seems like she's faking it. It almost seems like she's faking her accent. Oh, it's like Lord. It was so bad.
Is she not Hispanic enough for you?
No, not at all.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if she, I don't know if she was faking her accent or not. I'd have to go back and listen. What I do know is there was a number of questions, and especially the one she asked Ron DeSantis about the slavery question in the Florida, you know, Florida academics. Midway, like probably like 4 words into her question, I was like, I don't even, like, what is she saying? I don't know if she had a stroke in the middle of it or if like there were some English words that she really wanted to say that she couldn't pronounce. I don't know what it was, but when she got to the end of the question and Ron started answering, I was like, what are you answering? Because I didn't hear that.
Right? Dude, my closed like, maybe, caption didn't even pick it up. I'm just sitting there like,
closed caption,
garble, garble, dude, garble.
Dude, all my closed caption showed was a picture of Joe Biden when she said that. It was just like, blah, 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 blah. Right? That's it. I was like, what was the question? Ron must have heard it, man. because he was starting to answer, and I was like, bro, I wouldn't answer that question. I'd be like, can you repeat the question, please? Because I didn't know. So I'd be like,
in English this time?
Right, yeah. You know, and so, but as far as like what she had on her neck, I think it's, is that when your, you know, skin loses pigmentation?
Yeah.
Like melanoma or something, or whatever they call it.
It's not melanoma. No, it's not melanoma.
It's, shit, I can't remember that. It's got to be, right?
I can't remember. I think that's what it was, though. Or it was a tattoo of a comet, like Halley's Comet, you know, streaking through outer space or something. I don't know.
So, Roger, I'm going to ask. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I'm going to ask Roger this, or throw this out to you guys. It's not really even a question. It's just like, what did that debate even matter? Because if you believe the polls right now, this debate is about who's in second place by, you know, 40 or so points. So it's like, what did that matter? I mean, why even have it? You know what I'm saying? It's like, tell me why this debate matters, Roger. It's like, does it matter? Or because I, you know, Trump's in the lead. He's in the lead by any objective, you know, by any objective measure, Trump's in the lead. So why are we having this debate? And I'll be very anxious to see what the ratings are on this debate. Like, how many people actually tuned in? Because does it really matter?
It does matter because, I mean, one, there's no guarantee that Trump's going to make it to the election. I mean, there's a lot of legal stuff out there. And, you know, as we've all discussed previously on episodes, you know, it's different if it's one charge for this or that or whatever. I mean, dude, they've only got to get him on one, right? And I get it. There's an appeals process or whatever. But depending on how these things pan out, he could lose support. Hell, he could be in prison by the time the election comes around if things, you know, roll the wrong way. So you are looking for not necessarily the number two, but hey, I think there's still a belief out there, and rightfully so, that, you know, I don't know what the percentage of it is, but, you know, man, I throw it up there. There's a good 30-35% that are like, hey, this dude may not even make it to the election, you know, without being behind bars. And at that point, you do have to look at a number two. And, you know, I like Ron's answer, you know, towards the end is, hey, at the day, and I thought this was the best question. This was one of the best questions I was asked all night, you know, is I think Dana asked him, mathematically, how do you win? And she was referring to the polls and this and that. And Ron gave a great answer. Hey, man, polls don't vote, right? Polls don't vote. People vote. And there is, you know, we saw it in the 2016. We saw it in the 2020. I think we'll see it in the 2024. You know, now don't get me wrong. You would rather be in Donald Trump's position as far as polls go. You would rather be up by 40 in every single poll than down by 40, right? But we've seen in 2016 and seen in 2020 that, hey, man, a lot of these people tell you one answer in the poll. They don't necessarily go and vote that way. And because the margin is so slim in places like Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, hey, dude, you only have to be 1 or 2 points off. Nice shirt. You only have to be 1 or 2 points off to actually make a difference, you know, in the election.
So, Luke's got it. It's a great question. And I'll ask Roger this, since he's the hardcore MAGA guy, you know, out of the three of us. Do you think they tuned in tonight? Do you think the diehard, dyed in the wool, my vote is for Trump, ride or die? You think they watched it tonight?
I think the extreme MAGA supporters didn't, because I don't think they're really watchers of Fox News. They've probably already tuned Fox News out. But I do think a lot of your mainstream Trump supporters, I think they did watch, and they should watch, because, you know, you've brought it up several times. And I'd say with all the candidates up there, there are some, you know, it's easier to do with a DeSantis. It's easier to do with a Trump, and it's easier to do with a Burgum, where you have executive actions to answer for. There are things that you have done, right, wrong, or different, no matter how we feel, that we can hold your feet to the fire, right? So I think that, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, that middle of the road and you know, slightly to the right, all the way up to the extreme position, the MAGA supporters, you know, I think they did watch it. But I think the far extreme, I don't know, what's that, maybe 5-10%? Dude, they tuned Fox News out, you know, a year ago. They're watching OAN, if it's still on, or what's the Newsmax or whatever the hell they're, you know, they're watching.
So based on what you just said, should Trump debate?
So as a citizen, he should debate. As a citizen, I believe that everybody should debate. as his strategist or campaign manager? Hell no. Why would you? Because he's not going to gain any more voters. All he's going to do is lose voters. Why would you debate?
That's a good point.
That's fair.
It's a good point. I mean, and Roger's been saying that in our texts behind the scenes in our little three-person chat group we got. Roger's been very consistent on that. And I understand. I don't, as a citizen, I don't like it, but I get it. You know,
well, you know, Josh, what though? Because we believe in our stances. Sorry, cut you off. We believe, and we've said this before, if you truly believe in everything that you've done is the right way to do it and the best decision you could make at the time with the information that you have, dude, you have no problem getting up there. It's like, I want the time, right? And I'm going to get out there with conviction, and I'm going to tell you why I did what I did. You may not like it or whatever, but I believe in the cause. I believe in my actions. I believe in my principles, and I'm going to go out there and defend that. So on the individual level, you know, that's in all three of us.
And that's why Doug Burgum's did so well in all three of our eyes, because he gets up there. He knows what he's saying. His advisors, whatever. He's just like, no, I got this. I got this. He gets up there and says what he believes. And it's just like, and it works, right? Because how many times during the chat tonight did we say, you know, how did you answer this question incorrectly? Because you're listening to your advisors too much. You're listening to these people who are looking at polls all day, and you're not actually going back to what you really believe. You know, even DeSantis, all of them up there, except for Burgum, all of them up there. It's like, why did you answer the question that way? Except for Burgum and Christie, put it to you that way. Why did you answer the question that way? This is too easy. I called them all stupid because it's like, this is too easy. A lot of these, you know, the border questions, so on and so forth. It became too hard. So their advisors told him, if it comes to the border, if it becomes too sticky for you, you know, or Ukraine, if it becomes too sticky for you, RDS did this. Ron DeSantis did this. Ukraine became too sticky, so he pivoted to the border. It's like, what are you doing? This is too easy. You know, so that's why Doug Burgum, in my mind, did so well, because whatever, bro. He answered. He's being true to himself. So, Josh, I'm gonna kick it to you. I mean, we could go on for probably an hour and a half longer, but you know, our sound and audio guy, you know, we can't pay him overtime. So, Josh, what are your thoughts?
So, final thoughts. I was just I took a quick look at X, aka Twitter. And even Adam Kinzinger, like one of the worst people on the planet, right? And another one of those examples of just because you have military service doesn't mean you're going to be a good statesman. Even he was like, Vivek got completely steamrolled tonight. Like he left there looking like a clown. So final thoughts. I don't think Trump lost any voters tonight, you know, by and large. You know, I still think, you know, I think, you know, Ron's going to pick up, you know, maybe a few points after this, especially with, you know, some donors, you know, especially after, you know, he spammed your, you know, your phone and your, you know, your email inbox. But yeah, I don't think Trump lost any voters. But at the end of the day, again, you know, for the people out there, you're going to have to decide. We know that Trump can't win a general. There's no mathematical path for him. We talk about the math, you know, not working out for, you know, DeSantis or anybody else, you know, that was on the stage tonight. There's no mathematical path for Trump to win the Electoral College. Trump is not going to win Pennsylvania. Trump is not going to win, you know, any of the northern states, Michigan, Wisconsin. He's not going to win any of those states. It's not going to happen. He may or may not win Georgia. Now, Georgia is a question mark, right? And when Georgia is a question mark, you're not in a good position, especially if you can't go in and take Pennsylvania and Michigan. It's just not. So, you know, and people have to decide whether you want another 4 years of Biden or, depending upon the timing of, you know, when they get rid of him, because they're getting rid of Biden. I think we saw that, you know, a couple of days ago. I think we got that confirmation. You know, so you get another 4 years of Biden, or you know, you potentially get 8 years of Newsom. So, or they throw in there. So, you know, people got to decide, you know, Trump's an entertainer. It feels good. He gets people fired up. But at the end of the day, you know, he's the main reason why we have a Christopher Wray, a Mark Milley, and an Anthony Fauci. So, you know, I want people to think about that, stop thinking with their emotions and think with some logic and some common sense. So those are my final thoughts.
Real quick, Roger, before I kick it to you, I typed in the chat. I have one more quick thing, and I can't even remember what it was. But as Josh was talking, I'm like, look, folks, go to @culperscanteencup.com or @culperscanteencup on Twitter and just interact with us a little bit, man. Come on. I know y'all all listen. We've got a ton of followers. Come on, man. Help us out. Damn, help us does. Out a little bit. Damon does. I'll give a shout out to Damon, man. Damon, thank you. But the rest of y'all, don't be scared, man. Comment, man. We want to hear it. That's the platform we're primarily on now. So, yeah, hit us up, man. Definitely hit us up. And appreciate y'all listening. And Roger, I'll kick it to you to close us out.
You know, my final thought on it is the well, I've got two, you know, talk about the purpose of the debates. The purpose of the debates is for somebody to also break out. You know, I used this analogy earlier, I think in our text or you know, Slack or whatever. It's like, hey, man, you know, there's a lot that Ron has going for him. I would rather have 8 more years of that, this and that, and not have to go through this again in 4 years. But, you know, it's the, you know, I can't beat Usain Bolt, so I need him to drop out of the race so I can win. No, it's up to those other candidates to gain their share and become faster and become the better candidate. You know, that's what I'm looking for in the debate. What I did realize, and I know this is kind of like a close up, but you guys can interject if you want or give thoughts, but did you notice the Fox push of, you know, that kind of the anti-Biden GOP, you know, talking points with the opening segment, with all the statistics, you know, and then they showed the live feed of the border. I thought that was very, very interesting. I don't know if CNN or anybody else would have done that. So anyway, thanks again to everybody that listened, you know, it's going to listen to this episode. Thanks to all those. We actually, I mean, the numbers that participate on Slack, it's pretty cool. It's direct interaction. And, you know, for those out there that participate, it is a window, a small window, a sliver, a snippet of what myself, Josh, and Luke go through the majority of our waking hours. So be safe out there. Keep your canteen cups full of some good whiskey and tightly secured.